Who is ready for another show in a different area code?
That almost rhymed.
Oh, I'm really excited because 920-day, not only, you know, my hometown area code, but I don't think we actually have been able to get a show in a different area code on the actual day
right,
of
because,
release. Yeah. So happy September 20th, everybody.
And 920-day.
920-day. Also, I don't think that 920-day is a thing. Like, I don't. Like,
no, we're making it such.
We need to make
414-day became a thing in Milwaukee. Madison has and Southwest Wisconsin day. Starting to embrace the 608. Up north, they still haven't done the 715 yet, but we still gave them a shout out around July 15th. And now we're trying to spread that love to East Central and Northeastern Wisconsin.
Well, I will say, I know that Discover Green Bay launched their podcast that was called The 920 Show, which is very close. But I'm just saying we have, you know, there's opportunities here in a lot of Northeast Wisconsin to celebrate.
There is indeed. Green Bay, the largest city in the 920.
Yes, it is.
And we'll define the geography and all that kind of stuff for you as we dive in on another We Got Shows in Different Area Codes on The Cabin. Scariest part of that, Susan? That's probably the best I've ever sung. The Cabin is brought to you by the Wisconsin Counties Association, and this week we're featuring Washburn County, which is in the 715, but nevertheless, it was created back in 1883, same year as my great-grandmother, and county seat there is Shell Lake, Wisconsin. Largest city, and I think the only probably incorporated city in Washburn County, is Spooner, named after former governor Cadwallader C. Washburn. Washburn County has nearly 1,000 lakes just within its borders alone, making it a big destination for water recreation fun. In Minong, it's home to Jack Links. It's a very meaty county. If you like trains, the Wisconsin Great Northern Railroad between Spooner and Trigo, which is by US 53 and 63, that runs really popular robbery, western-style, cowboy, and buffet-style experiences, as well as formal dinner trains. Halloween, the Great Pumpkin Train. It almost sells out every year, so if you want to get involved in that, you got about 5-6 weeks.
Well, at least we have enough time to like warn people for that.
I'll give you the early heads up. The old Chicago Northwestern Spooner Railroad Depot is now the town's Railroad Memories Museum. Cool place to visit. Spooner also has a canoe heritage museum. And Round Man Brewing in Spooner, great place to check out. Right in downtown. They needed that in the heart of downtown. And if you love distilleries, on a beautiful farm called Perlick, the Perlick Distillery is outside of Sorona. That's all in Washburn County.
What a happening county.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Eric, that description made me thirsty.
Well, lucky for you, we have some cans here.
Perfect. On the count of three. One, two, three.
Almost fully in sync.
It's something I think that we'll never have necessarily perfected. No matter how many times we do it.
Well, when you're opening a can, you kind of got to get under that tab. Yeah. I got to use my fingernails to try and get under it a little, because otherwise.
Yeah, and I just ruined all my nails like this past weekend. So
doing what?
Like, they just look like little nubs. I was doing a lot of yard work and like some DIY projects, and so I just ruined all of them. Anyway, Jolly Good Soda is available in 6 and 12 packs in select flavors at Festival Foods, Woodman, Sendix, Piggly Wiggly, Triggs, Quality Foods, and so many local grocery stores, convenience stores, gas stations, Quick Trips, which is perfect. We love that. Aparpa, what is your favorite flavor of Jolly Good Soda?
I think I go between the grape and the Sour Power for different reasons. And yeah, I love them both.
Yeah. Well, Sour
Power. It does depend on your mood.
Very much depends on mood. And it's so, I feel like all summer we were really rocking the like nostalgic fruit like flavors, you know, like the blue raspberry and the orange and the grape. But now that we're into fall, I am kind of finding myself curling up with like a Sour Power vibe more.
Yeah, first official day of fall is tomorrow, isn't it?
Is it tomorrow or
September 21st,
days.
Usually, right? But I digress. Yes.
We digress with the diet line of Jolly Good Soda, which is caffeine-free, zero calories, zero carbs, zero sugar, which is the favorite way that we all love to enjoy Jolly Good in the Cabin. Make sure that you're staying up to date on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Jolly Good Soda for all of their fun promotions.
And
now,
one thing of note, though, because it is fall this week at least, we'll say that, it is time for the Sour Power to be stepped up because that works great in old fashions.
You betcha.
And
does.
As fall comes in, that drink just becomes more prevalent.
More wonderful. Well, we've referenced it the entire time, but I'm excited to actually dive into 920-day. Are we ready, guys?
It's our last campfire of technical summer.
Oh my God.
Right?
So sad. Yeah, that happened so fast, Eric. All right, 9-2-0-day. So if you are new here to the cabin, wow, I forgot we've gotten really bad at introducing ourselves.
Oh yeah, I'm Eric Paulson.
I'm Susan Foch.
Purva Banerjee.
I'm Matt Renta, aka Music Matt.
What's up, Music Matt? All right. So this is the Cabin Podcast, the official podcast of Discover Wisconsin. If you are new here, this entire year, we've been doing different shows in different area codes per the area codes of Wisconsin on those days. So we started with 414 day in Milwaukee. We did 608 day in Madison and South Central Wisconsin, 715 day for Northern Wisconsin. And now it's 920 day for Northeast Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. Like I said, this covers my hometown. So this covers everything from Door County to Green Bay, Appleton, Oshkosh, Manitowoc. And honestly, when I was looking at the map, 920 day will scoop down and not 920 day, the 920 area code will scoop down enough to like bordering parts of like Madison and Milwaukee.
Well, if you're on I-94 driving between Madison and Milwaukee, if you're in Milwaukee, it's 414, suburbs, you're 6262. Mm-hmm. Madison, you're 608, and in between in Jefferson County, you just cross a swath of 920.
Exactly.
It's really weird. And it's the 920. Can I do the history?
Please. This is my favorite part.
I geek out on this kind of stuff.
Go.
So, you know, Wisconsin originally started with the 414 and 715 area codes, and then splits were made from 1947 on. Mm-hmm. And in 1997, the northern part of 414 did get its own area code of 920. It's essentially the eastern third of the state. Mm-hmm. That isn't 414 or 262. 920 will be overlaid with another area code pretty soon, though. It's getting watered down.
I don't love it.
I don't either. The new area code will be 274, which will start on May 5th, 2023.
How am I supposed to put that into the calendar?
Well, it's February 74th. Just work your way through it'll be sometime in April, I guess. So, 920 does stretch into Jefferson County in spots. The largest inland lake in the country that's entirely within one state is in the 920, Lake Winnebago, of course.
Yes.
And it's the only area code in Wisconsin with an NFL team. If you want to stretch trivia.
Ooh, that's some trivia I get to put in my pocket for a Jeopardy episode, mm-hmm. so that'll be good.
Probably also, I believe, unless Bayfield County counts with the Apostle Islands, it has the most coastline of any area code in the state.
That would make sense with Lake Michigan, but then also because Door County
Green Bay, Lake
itself,
Michigan all the way down, because it starts south of Sheboygan.
It does. It does. And it kind of touches a little bit of the, like, Marinette, like, on the other side.
It gets to that O'Connell-Marinette County border. Like, right around Crivets is where it changes. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And Apurva, I'm so excited to have you on this episode with us, because although you live in Milwaukee and you live in the, I guess you kind of oscillate in between the 414 and the 262, but you spent a lot of time in the 920.
Yeah, I did. I spent a whole day in Appleton the other day, so it was kind of cool to see why it's called the Fox City. I was able to take like an outdoor tour of the Hearthstone Historic Museum and really got to know that was the first private residence anywhere in the world to be illuminated by hydroelectricity from the central Edison system. Oh, like, I had no idea. Yep.
I thought you said eliminated. I'm like, oh my gosh, what happened?
Okay.
Yeah, it still has like the original fixtures and fittings. It was built in 1882, and then they flipped on the switch essentially on September 30th. So that was really cool to see.
Oh, that's super cool. I did not even know that.
Appleton is very technologically advanced for things like hydroelectric power.
Well, because they still have that dam, right?
Oh, yeah. And the Fox River, you know, the way it lowers itself from Lake Winnebago to Lake Michigan. Yeah, you can power a lot of stuff just with the water.
Look at that. Mm-hmm. I love it. Also, I mean, I also saw you got to visit our friends at Ferris Gourmet Popcorn.
I did, and I was going to mention that I picked up some of the Jolly Good cream soda flavored popcorn, and I think I'm going to go back and try the cream soda in, like, the Jolly Good can now.
Mm. Ooh, it would be fun to actually, like, drink that with the popcorn, because they did that with root beer, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Jolly Good root beer.
Reinforce the flavors.
Yeah.
Why not?
Oh, my gosh. No, and I love those girls, so I think that was super fun when I got to see on your Instagram stories that you went everywhere around Lake Winnebago, so I thought that was great.
Yeah, I was just covering, like, a good swath of the 920, because it was nice to see, like, that was a part that I had not discovered before, and essentially, as you keep going around Lake Winnebago, you hit so many cool towns and mm-hmm. so much history there. So really big shout out to 920.
Yeah, I feel bad too, because I feel like I could shout out so many former episodes that we've done, like the how to plan a weekend around Lake Winnebago. But we've done mm-hmm. so many bonus episodes in the Fox Cities, Oshkosh, Door County,
Green Bay, Appleton,
Green Bay. Like, I just, there's part of me where I'm like, I can't list all of them because we've done so many of them. But if you're looking for something more specific in the 920, definitely just start scrolling back on our shows and you'll see a lot of, even in the last couple of months, we've done a lot of
Sheboygan, Manitowoc, targeted. Even the Marine Sanctuary we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
With our Lakeshore episode. I don't have phones out on Lake Michigan, but that's still in the 920 shoreline. Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so Eric, why don't you kind of finish taking us around more of the 920? Give us any more history, more facts? What else you got for us?
Well, geographically, I mean, yeah, you're talking most of Jefferson County is actually in the 920, which a lot of people wouldn't think of.
I wouldn't think
of. It reaches down almost to Whitewater. Mm-hmm. And then all of Dodge County pretty much is 920. And then really everything west to around Green Lake, and then everything east and northeast of there.
Mm-hmm.
Up to the Oconto-Marinette County line. And, of course, that includes Door County.
Yep.
So that's what makes it. So, really, Wisconsin's most popular destination for tourism,
mm-hmm.
which is Door County, I do believe.
I mean, I think so.
At least from a county basis.
I think from a county basis and perhaps a room tax dollar basis. I don't know, because I feel like places like Lake Geneva or...
Oh, yeah, those are huge, but that's not a whole county.
Oh, okay. Oh, if we're going to talk county basis.
As a destination, okay. As a county. But the bottom line is, yeah, basically if you're Lake Winnebago or within 50 miles of it, you're in the 920.
Mm-hmm.
And most of Wisconsin's mid-size, like the Appletons and Oshkoshes, Manitowoc, Sheboygan, mm-hmm. all those towns are part of that. They were all in the 414.
Yeah.
Back in the day. So I can't believe they didn't run out of phone numbers earlier than that.
Yeah.
But... And you're in a part of the Niagara Escarpment runs through there,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, is how Door County is there in the first place.
Basically.
And it's an area that's really, there's so many different swaths within the 920, because if you're talking around Green Lake County, if you're talking Marquette County, Washara County, that's all in the 920, that's a very different vibe
mm-hmm.
than the Lakeshore communities.
Yeah.
Which is why when you give a shout out, we have to like kind of be all over the map, literally.
Literally.
When we're talking about the 920. 715 was easier because it's all North Woods.
You're right. Mm-hmm. No, there's a lot of different vibes. I think my brother has always described this too, even for something like the Midwest, because it's actually a really odd placement when you can kind of consider, because like a Wisconsin Midwest and like a Kansas City Midwest are very different Midwest, but like the Great Lakes community and like the southern part of the Midwest, like there it kind of has the same vibe where it's like, yeah, it's all called one thing. But the vibe is drastically different depending on where you are.
Yeah, I think one of the things notable as well, and I know there's a lot of wineries in the western part of the mm-hmm. state, but there's an American viticultural area mm-hmm. that's an official designation, and that is part of the 920, a big part of the 920 in northeastern Wisconsin.
Huh.
That was started by Trout Springs Winery, the owners of that winery. They're a little bit south of Green Bay.
Okay.
But you have all of these wineries, like, you know, you have Parallel 44 in Kewaunee, mm-hmm. which has its sister winery in Door County. You have a bunch of wineries in Door County itself. You have, now, Forgotten Fires in Peshtigo, and that is also just on the border of the 715,
mm.
which is home to the famous Peshtigo Fire, too.
Right.
And then there's a lot of wineries around near Ripon and Green Lake. There's an area called the Muscutin Valley.
Okay.
And that's very popular. Rushford Winery's there, Rush's to Vines, and several others. So if you're thinking wine in Wisconsin, the 920 has a high concentration of wineries, and it's widely recognized for it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, which is actually something we also talked about with Apurba not that long ago, so because it was episode 138 that we did Winesconsin Part 2 with Apurba. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't listened to that episode but you want some more winery inspiration, hop back for that one. But something else that's really huge in the 920, I mean, in Wisconsin in general, but in the 920 is something, and Apurba, I see it on your part of the list, so I want to definitely bounce it to you, but is our Native American culture. Because we have a lot of the Ho-Chunk people in this area, but it's mostly a lot of the Oneida Reservation and like the Oneida tribes. And so, but you have something that I think you just visited one of those tribes, right, Apurba?
Yeah, that was a really cool experience. I think they have such great history and culture, and they actually invite you into their homes to experience that. So you can watch the different dances. You can also like dance along the different drum steps. So that was really cool, and learned so much about them. I think there's a lot of, I think we don't know a lot about their traditions, and it's nice to see firsthand and learn firsthand. And it's only like right to the west of Green Bay, so it's not too far, right in the heart of the 920.
Yeah. One of my college professors, actually, because I did my undergrad at UW Oshkosh, and one of my professors was a woman who had grown up on the Oneida Reservation, which is, like you said, right outside of Green Bay. And the life lessons I learned from that woman still stick with me to this day. Well, like for one example, because so I had studied a lot of human services and like social work in college. And so, and I was having a class with her where we were talking of, I forgot exactly what it was called, but it was essentially like a social work themed class. And we were talking about even something like when you're going into a home and you're dealing with like babies, for example. A lot of westernized culture is the idea that babies are born knowing nothing as a clean slate, and like you teach them everything, and you know, you're teaching them and bringing them up. But in their culture, something they believe is that babies are born knowing everything, and we're the ones who are actually closing their minds off to like different things and different ideas. And it's as their head hardens that it's like certain information is being like blocked out. And so when you're dealing with a baby that's maybe in a like a traumatic situation, if you know, again, going back to social work, if you're going there, like to just so calmly explain everything to them, like just using regular adult words, like, hey, like, this is what's happening. These are going to be the next steps. This is why this person's going away. And that they're always statistically much more calm and receptive to what's going to happen than if you're just kind of like shushing them and being like, no, it's going to be okay. And you like, don't explain what's going on. So it was just kind of certain things like that, like of parts of their culture and a lot of like how they raise children. And I don't know. That one always really stuck with me. It was super cool.
I mean, babies are born with instincts.
Oh, absolutely.
But
have you ever met a baby that was like a real definition of an old soul?
Not that I know of.
Oh my gosh. Those are the ones that are so fascinating to me, because you can tell like even as an infant, like they're kind of done with like certain BS.
Well, some babies are born looking like old people. And they're the cutest ones.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's like a friend of mine had a baby about 4 months old, dressed him in this little tiny thing with a bow tie. Because he looked like he was 75 coming out of a tavern. You know, it was just, and he's the cutest little guy.
Yeah.
And now he's a little older and now he doesn't look, you know, he looks regular. But, you know, some babies look super tiny young, and then some look like they're old people just reincarnated.
You can tell they've done a couple of walks around the block, like, and now they're here again, and they're like, dang it.
It's like, you see a little baby and you're like, you remind me of this guy Lou I saw at the track the other day. You know, it's just a weird deal.
Oh my god, we were getting so I don't know what's off course with us today, Eric.
I think we're off course here,
really off track. Aperba, anchor us back down to the 920.
I have something.
You know what I used to anchor? I actually was watching Alex Worley's stories today, and she mentioned something really cool. She adds cheddar cheese to her PB&J, and guess where the cheese capital of the world is? It's in Plymouth, which is in the 920.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah, so cheese to your peanut butter.
I'm still processing cheddar cheese on a PB&J.
I have a lot of feelings about that.
I think you should knock it till you try it. It is pretty hefty. It's got like a mouthfeel to it, and it's very Wisconsin.
It's got a mouthfeel. I'm going to steal that
expression. That's not always a selling point.
Jeez.
Oh, jeez. All right.
And also within Plymouth is one of the highest points in the Kettle Moraine State Forest, which is the Parnell Observation Tower. Mm-hmm. So essentially, if you're, now that we're stepping into the fall, it's a great place to go and see the leaves change and see the reds and the oranges and the yellows really mix in with the evergreens, and really cool place to be.
Oh, that's awesome. Also, I'm actually going to piggyback off of what you mentioned about the fact that the cheese capital is Plymouth, because a hop, skip, and a jump away from that is Sheboygan, which is the bratwurst capital of the world.
And the freshwater surfing capital.
And the freshwater surfing capital of the world. And, I mean, and if we're going to go back to this, not to reference another episode that we did where we talked about you know, the capitals of the world, but also in the 920 is for Green Bay being the toilet paper capital of the world. Like, there's so many like big pockets and big hubs of like cool stuff that's hiding in the 920.
Well, and in the 920 is Seymour, which is the place supposedly where the hamburger was invented.
Oh, yeah.
In 1885.
And if we go to, back to our friends in Manitowoc and Two Rivers, it's where the ice cream sundae was invented.
Yes, in Two Rivers right there.
In Two Rivers. Well, we have a lot of foodie, like, fun facts.
Well, hiding. We're big on eating and drinking in this state, as it's been well established.
Very, very true.
So, yeah, and it's funny, because the exact borders for the 920, for example, if you're crossing into Fond du Lac or Sheboygan County from Ozaukee or Washington, that is the boundary of where 920 begins.
Yeah.
And 262 ends. Most of the time, these area code boundaries are at like little township borders.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so hard to tell. Not that we need more borders and boundaries in our worlds, but it's always kind of interesting to know when you cross over. But the thing is, with cell phones, it's kind of
a moot point.
It's kind of marred all of that anyway. But it's, sometimes it's good to know exactly when you're in the 920. They should put welcome signs up.
They should. They should. now, Apurba, you had talked about, especially for the... I'm so sorry, listeners. I feel like we are just really all over the place today.
Never apologize. As long as we're entertaining, that's what matters.
That's true. So you were talking about Kettle Moraine State. Well, technically, I guess it's a state natural area. But, you know, it is the first day of fall is in 2 days. So why don't we also give a little bit of fall love to the 920? I mean, because there are some gorgeous fall hikes and like places to see the fall colors really change. So, and Apurba, you've got a great list. So why don't you start running us through that?
Yeah, there's one that Eric had mentioned before, Hikeless State Park in Sherwood. That's in the 920. It is beautiful, and I know it runs along the ancient Niagara Escarpment, so that's really cool to see all the different colors mix again.
The sunsets, by the way. The sunsets you can see off High Cliff.
Gorgeous.
Over Lake Winnebago.
Gorgeous.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yep. And the other one that's on my list is also the Henry Chute Park in Manitowoc. Mm-hmm. That is part of the Ice Age National Scenic Trail. So
yeah.
if you're out there, definitely get to see that fall color.
Is that the one that goes along the Manitowoc River, kind of?
Yeah, kind of.
It's a neat spot because you're in the middle of the city and then suddenly this parkland comes upon you and you feel like you've gone 100 miles in a different direction. It's really, really lovely.
And speaking of rivers, in Two Rivers, there's the Woodland Dunes Nature Center and Preserve. That's essentially hikers walk upon 5,000 years ago. Like, there was this beach ridge off Lake Michigan, and you're basically walking through this wooded area and you're seeing all these beautiful fall colors come in.
I would also add to that the Cherney Maribel Caves Park in Maribel, which is northwestern Manitowoc County, which is also kind of a ledge, and there's caves. It's part of the Niagara Escarpment, and I've never been there in the fall, but I'll bet the fall colors there are phenomenal.
Oh, they would have to be.
You have to throw in one in Door County, Susan.
Oh, of course.
To watch the fall colors.
I mean, the problem with that is I think Door County just in general would be great for
the whole thing, yeah.
Fall colors and everything, you know, relating there. But, and I'd be really interested to see when they're going to be in peak for, you know, to see the fall color report. But I think, well, the one I think you're referring to on your list is... Ellison Bluff County Park, which Eric and I have gushed over many a times. But also, if we're going to stick, we've mentioned the Niagara Escarpment plenty of times in this episode. And one of my favorite spots also to see, well, fall colors, the Niagara Escarpment, be hiking on that is just, you know, Peninsula State Park. That's also a really gorgeous way to kind of go through and hike through some of those colors.
What about the ridges?
The ridges. Yeah, if you want to go on the lake side of the peninsula. Yeah, you've been to the ridges, right, Apurba?
Yeah, they are. That's such a cool little hidden gem almost, because not a lot of people go there for hiking, but they do have certain hiking trails just coming off of the boardwalk. And that place is really good for all different kinds of fitness abilities. So if you're younger or older, essentially you can visit the ridges and see the fall colors. People do a lot of forced perspectives there because you can kind of like pick up your hand and show like you're squeezing the sanctuary. So it's a really cool Instagrammable place. It's really nice to visit, very peaceful. And it's just a hop, skip, and jump from essentially the main drag of Bailey's Harbor.
Right. Well, and that's one of the nice things where, and I understand why you're calling it kind of almost a hidden gem, and it's just because I feel like in general for Door County, I mean, there's two sides, right? There's the Lake Michigan side and the Green Bay side, right? And if I speak in Eric Paulson terms, it's Highway 57 versus Highway 42. But, I mean, and that side, like the Bailey's Harbor, anything that's on the Lake Michigan side is just known as the quiet side of the peninsula.
Well, it truly is quieter.
It's so much quieter.
It's flatter, generally.
Yep. And I just, you know, and it gets less of the tourism attention. And so, yeah, in general, if you're looking for something just a wee bit more peaceful, I would definitely just head to that side in general. But something like the ridges would be really perfect to see those fall colors. So, yeah.
Well, it perfect. Really is. And you're so far up. I mean, when you get a view from a little higher up, you can see all the way across the peninsula.
Exactly.
And that makes it really cool because the juxtaposition of the fall colors against the blue waters of the lake and the bay. I mean,
yeah.
It's about as scenic as it gets.
Gorgeous.
Even if you want a tiny little speck of fall color on a quick stop on your way from Green Bay to Door County, along Highway 57, Wequiock Falls is a cool little stop.
That's a cool one in Green Bay.
It's a ravine.
I really like that.
Yeah, the rocks.
I've seen it in all seasons. It's beautiful in the winter where you can basically go and like break off icicles from the waterfall, and also really nice in the summer.
Even in spring, it's cool because with the snow melt, there's a lot more water falling over it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and let's face it, March and April is usually the ugliest time in this state. So if you can find something that's prettier in the spring than the surroundings, yep, find it. And at Wequiock Falls is definitely one very dog-friendly place, too, if you're going to stop with the pooch on your road trip.
Yeah, the problem with this is I feel like we could keep talking about the 920 for hours and hours on end.
Well,
there's so much we could cover.
There are so many places with it. I mean, and we it's a good time to give a shout out to places we don't normally give as much recognition to, because like Ripon and Green Lake, for example,
yeah,
they're in the 920. And I mentioned the Mascouten Valley, which has some wineries and some other great things. The golf in 920 is pretty much unparalleled.
Ooh.
Because
yes,
you're encompassing all the courses in Sheboygan County.
Yeah.
From the public Sunset Hills, which is a beautiful little 9-hole course right off Highway 23, to, of course, the major properties under the, you know, under the Kohler brand.
Yeah.
Black Wolf Run, Whistling Straits, and a whole bunch of others. Quiquiac, which is in Elkhart Lake. We filmed there this year. That was a fun little course. And then out in, you know, Ripon, you have Tuscambia, which is actually Green Lake, technically. And then a bunch of other great courses around the Green Bay area. So if you love golfing, the 920 is a great place to check out.
I love it. Also, something we forgot to mention, and I feel silly for forgetting it, but in the 920, doesn't get as much love and attention. Also considered in our, you know, capitals of it, but Calumet County, we've talked about here before, is the supper club capital of the Midwest. Like, you want to get a good meal that's also not necessarily on the beaten path. Like, any of the supper clubs in Calumet County, forget about it.
They're almost all off the beaten path. To get to Schwarz's in St. Anna, which is actually on, I think, the Calumet-Sheboygan County line, but it's on the Calumet side.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to, nobody happens by it.
Right.
You got to find the right county road and seek it out. It's near New Holstein.
Yeah.
And then just all of the others. I mean, one of them is on the old military road in Sherwood. That used to be a main drag in the 1830s.
Which one is that?
But now it's, I forgot the name of the club, the actual supper club.
Oh.
But it's just off of the main, it's off of highways 55 and 114 in Sherwood, but it's on the old military road.
Okay, I'm just going to start shouting out supper club names. You tell me which one it is. Cobblestone. Repke's.
Nope.
The Granary.
Might be the Granary.
Might be the Granary. Maybe. Aperba's nodding her head at
us. That's the one. That's the one. Now that I think about it.
Yeah, that's the one.
Repke's is cool, too. That's in Charlesburg.
Charlesburg.
Which is, and that's not far from another great place for fall color, and by the way, and for a hike, is Ledgeview Nature Center, which is near Chilton.
Okay.
So if you want to pair a good hike with a good supper club experience, where they're just within a couple miles of each other, go to the Chilton area and check out Ledgeview Nature Center and then Repke's Supper Club. That will make for a very complete day.
And a very Wisconsin 920 day.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Oh, my gosh. Well, I think, is there any last shout out we want to give to any industry, any place in the 920 before we we wrap up our celebration of 920 Day.
Gosh, there are so many more we could do. I mean, I know. Everything around Fond du Lac, mm-hmm. Eastern Columbia County, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to talk the city of Columbus. You want to talk anything in Dodge County. I should mention, actually, the Horicon Marsh is in the 920. So if you're in the world's largest cattail marsh, Horicon area, you are in the 920.
There you go. My goodness.
That's a great place to watch a bunch of migratory birds.
Oh, absolutely.
Really cool bird watching.
It's a birder's paradise.
That's awesome. Alrighty. Well, speaking of the 920 and everything that's in Northeast Wisconsin, Eric, would you do us a favor and walk our listeners through some best Western locations that they can stay at if they want to come explore the 920 for themselves?
So there's a ton of best Westerns in the 920 here in Wisconsin, and let's give a bunch of them a shout out. Best Western Maritime Inn in Sturgeon Bay, which is conveniently located in town. You're one of the radio stations I work on. Mm-hmm. The Best Western Green Bay Inn Conference Center. That's been there a long time. My dad used to stay there when I was little. It was called the Midway Motor Lodge. And then, of course, they've redone it since. Beautiful place on Armed Forces Drive within, I mean, it's right next to the Rush Center. It's right by Lambeau Field, like hundreds of feet from Lambeau Field. It's halfway between Lambeau Field and the Stadium View Bar. Hmm. So it's a great location if you want to check out a Packer game. The Best Western Stanton Inn in Chilton, which is right by the Chilton Twilight Outdoor Theater. Mm-hmm. Down there in town. And then you've got some seriously nice ones. The two premier hotels in the state. One is in Oshkosh, right downtown.
Which is...
on the river.
Well, it's a beautiful Best Western. And also, it's just like, because it's on downtown and Main Street, it's just surrounded by so much cool stuff.
It has it has Ground Round Restaurant, Boat Ground Slips, Round. Popular for weddings and everything.
Yep.
The Best Western Premier Breezewood Inn, which is in Nina. It's right off I-41. That place is like a resort. It's pretty cool with all the stuff they have there. There's a great one right by the airport in Appleton. It's on College Avenue right there, the Best Western Plus. Mm-hmm. There's a new Best Western Plus. It's still new. Maybe it's been open a year. In Jefferson, right along Highway 26 on the north side of town, between where the bypass and the main road meet. And there's another Best Western in Watertown. Fairly recent addition, too. So those are all in the 920 and then right on the edges. I mean, the Wittenberg Inn, which is right where 45 and 29 meet, a little bit west of Shawnee. And then, if you head more toward the North Woods, you got Manaquin, Eagle River, and Crandon, and all sorts of great options. And then also kind of on the cusp, but in the 715, I got to give a shout out to the Best Western Riverfront Inn in Marinette.
Yeah.
Tallest building in the northeast corner of Wisconsin.
I love it. And my favorite part about Best Western is that if you sign up for their rewards program and their loyalty program.
The points do not expire.
They don't expire.
Which means I've been delaying using them. I'm trying to pile on more points.
It also means that you can basically visit any and all of the Best Westerns in Northeast Wisconsin. Take a tour of the Best Westerns.
There we go.
See what happens.
I've done that for my State Trunk Tour site before.
I'm sure you have.
It's great places to stay, right? So there you go.
Oh, man.
All right. And then speaking of health and fitness, the Group Health Trust, serving local governments and school districts, the WCA Group Health Trust partners closely with members to fulfill their employee health benefit obligations in a fiscally responsible manner. Learn more at WCAGHT.org.
And now, it's one of my favorite parts of the show. We are back with this week's segment of the Wisconsin Treasure because there's just so much about Wisconsinites, not just in the fall, but all year round that we love so much about our friends and our families and our neighbors. Apurba, I would love to hear a little bit more about some of your experience, you know, when you moved to Wisconsin and like the friendliness that you experienced.
It was definitely a different kind of hospitality. I moved here from the South and kind of people talk a lot about the Southern hospitality, but really Wisconsin is warm at heart. It might be cold a lot of the time of the year, but they really are warm. I've seen during the pandemic especially, there were a lot of local restaurants helping each other. There was one where they actually opened up their kitchen. They weren't functional, but they were letting people who had smaller restaurants and had lost their kitchens to come in and serve food out of it. There would be days when you could go in and get a free meal, especially in certain neighborhoods within Milwaukee. So that was really, really cool. And really, Wisconsinites are known to bring their communities together and help each other to better their own community. And I've really firsthand felt that warm Wisconsin hospitality for sure.
I love it.
So each week we're giving a shout out to an individual or organization in the state for doing something truly outstanding to better their community or the state in general, or even the world if you can do it. Why not?
You can. Yeah.
The supercomputer got invented here, for crying out loud, for better and worse. And we want you to tell us about the Wisconsin treasure in your community who's making a difference and deserves a moment in the spotlight. We're also featuring them on our Instagram page, which is, of course, at The Cabin Pod.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been giving them all kinds of fun shout outs.
Oh, we got a good one this week, too.
We do. And I'm really excited because this one's a little bit different for us because it's not necessarily a person or a nonprofit, but it is a coffee shop in Lake Geneva that I haven't physically been to it yet, but we learned about it actually like a year ago during episode 88, which was a Wisconsin deep dive. Stephanie Klett is the one who taught us about this. So it's called Inspired Coffee, which is right on just Main Street in Lake Geneva. And they fully employ people with intellectual, developmental, and physical disabilities in their coffee shop. And not in like, and she kind of said that she had a really beautiful way that she said it because she's Stephanie, but you know, oftentimes I think when people with those types of disabilities get jobs, sometimes they feel like they're often maybe kept like in the back of something or something where they're just not necessarily customer facing. And something really cool about Inspired Coffee is like they are the baristas. They are your cashiers. Like they are the people who are fully like, you know, in front and taking care of you and taking care of everything. And I just think it's like the coolest kind of coffee shop to be able to do that and really make sure that they're focusing on employing and empowering people with disabilities in this way. And I just think it's so cool. Eric, you run a morning show in Lake Geneva now. Like have you been able to be there? Have you experienced them?
I haven't had a coffee there yet, but we interviewed the guy who helped start it. He's with Inspiration Ministries, which helped start Inspired Coffee. Mm. And they actually had a 5K going on sometime in July that was at Badger High School in Lake Geneva. And he was talking about, you know, how they got it started and how the people that they employ there, and they have a variety of challenges that they deal with, but it helps them find what they're good at. Mm-hmm. You know, some people may be very awkward in front of other people, but they make a mean cup of coffee. Others might not do so well with, you know, all the, you know, trying to foam up the coffee or the espresso, whatever you do with that. I usually take straight coffee black myself, but they're really good with customers and they're really friendly and they like talking with people. So you help them find their strength. And then you can take, you know, in a sense, advantage of that strength by putting them in the right place. And then that gives them some confidence that allows them to be productive.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, we talk about how things can snowball in a downward way or out of control. Things can snowball in the positive way, too.
Oh, absolutely.
And the more you can put people in a position where they're able to do that, the better. And that extends to everyone, really.
Oh, I mean, how many times do we get caught in one of those like pay it forward lines, even if you're just like getting like a drive through coffee or something? Like people want
not enough.
I think, well, there's just so
I had to pay
much
for my McChicken on the way over here.
Unfathomable. I think it's just, you know, we get the world today, it's so easy to get caught up in the negative and like negative news spirals. And, you know, we're all addicted to these stupid rectangles in our pockets that give us like the entire world's information at any given moment. And it's usually really negative because I don't know. It's just, what's that old like news adage? If it bleeds, it leads.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was checking my phone.
There you go. Thank you so much for that. But so I just think anytime, like, I think people really are desperate to get caught in something like a pay it forward line. To be caught up in a snowball of positivity is so rare these days. People are like itching for it.
And anytime you can help a lot of people be part of that snowball and that uplifting experience, that's a good thing. So yeah, shout out to Inspired Coffee in Lake Geneva for that. They're right on Main Street, which is also Highway 50, a little bit west of Broad Street. If you haven't been there in a few years, that's where Pete's Coffee used to be. And so, I mean, you're within a block of walking distance to the Riviera and the parks and the beach and the lake and all that stuff. So it's right there and it's a great place to stop.
It is beautiful. And that is why they are our Wisconsin treasure of the week.
So, Susan, where's our review of the week?
Here's the thing. I'm going to just continue to I want to do a call for reviews. And of course, and I know I've done this before, where definitely, you know, leave our new hosts. So both Aperba and Ramsey, even our new audio engineer, Music Matt, What's up? Hey. We have a lot of new faces and voices in the cabin, so please do them a favor. Give them some love in our reviews. But also, I would love to hear some feedback on the Wisconsin Treasure if people are loving this segment. If you're not loving it, I can take some constructive criticism, I think.
Maybe. Ooh, this will be good.
Eric is just waiting for someone to like rip me apart with a 1-star review.
You're upset with a 4-star review as opposed to a 5.
Exactly. I strive for perfection, Eric. I have a problem. But anyway, so just that's my request is to, yeah, just be giving our new host and our new audio engineering some love in the reviews. All right. And now we are back with this part of the show. Who's ready to go behind the scenes? And we are back behind the scenes with one of our favorite producers, Annalise Beckman. Welcome back to the cabin.
Thank you, Susan, and Eric, and Matt.
Good to see you, Annalise.
You weren't going to make that mistake again,
nope,
were you?
No, I was not.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we're so excited to have you back in the cabin to talk about your newest and latest episode of Discover Wisconsin. It's going to come out this weekend. I'm quite intrigued by this episode title, and I know our listeners will be, too. It's called Chillin' Out in Wisconsin.
It is. And actually, guess who came up with that?
Oh, yeah, it was my idea.
It was. Right. He doesn't even know. He's just as surprised as everybody else.
It was like almost a year ago. It was January?
We've
my
been
brain
filming
was frozen.
This was the first one that I ever, this was the first shoot that I ever produced by myself.
Oh, that's right, because it started with Baron, right? Was
yep.
That was your first shoot.
It was the first shoot. Well, I had been with other producers, but first one that I produced.
That
yeah.
you did on, yeah, as the lead, right?
Oh,
and that
God.
Was that late October with the market?
Might have been
and everything in Baron?
September, I think.
Was it? Okay. So yeah, this has been percolating for quite a while.
All right. Mm-hmm. And look at you coming up with episode titles, Eric. You're not just a host. You're also
I'm not just a so-so face.
Title
I'm an occasionally brilliant idea guy.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, why don't you explain to people why the episode is called Chillin' Out in Wisconsin? What can we expect to see?
Yes, you can expect to see a lot of cold activities happening. However, a lot of cozy activities as well. We start out in Barron in the fall, and then we work our way kind of throughout Wisconsin into the winter. So it gets a little bit colder, and we end all the way up north, actually north of Wisconsin, in Bond Falls in one of the segments. So we start out in Barron in the fall, and then we go to Menominee, Sauk County, and Land O'Lakes. And we just, emphasize a lot of the different winter activities that you can do in Wisconsin.
Hmm. So, Eric, you were the host for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
What? I know how much you love filming in the cold weather months. So, what kind of activities? She said some outdoor and cozy activities. What kind of stuff were you doing?
Well, it started in Barron, and it wasn't cold yet. It was still quite pleasant out.
Okay.
Like the cool, crisp nights of fall, you knew it was coming. But during the day, it was pleasant and beautiful. So we had a lot of fun. I golfed in it.
Mm-hmm. That was actually really fun. We met some cool people that day.
Yeah. See, I always get my best scores on a scramble. So that was fun to do.
I was not paying attention to your golfing. I was doing the behind the camera stuff. Did you
Most
do
were
it?
Avoiding
you,
watching
were
my golf. Actually, it was
funny. Subpar here?
I had not swung the wrenches all year. And so when
that was your first time.
When I teed off on hole number one with people and cameras watching me, and I literally had not even practiced swung.
Were you impressed with yourself?
I nailed a straight shot that was low, and it went about 125 yards. And I'm like, you know what? I'll take that, considering.
Not too bad.
and I think on the whole scramble, I think they used 4 of my shots. But it was a lot of fun for that. And that was fall colors were in full effect. And it was just starting to get colder. And then by the time we got to Menominee, it was cold.
Yes. Then we did some ice fishing, too, up there. So that was a good... ice fishing day because they ice fish very differently in Menominee than I'm typically used to. They have like a big party on the ice and they spend the whole day out there. So they get all their family and their friends and they have a bunch of people. It's not, like 2 people ice fishing in a hole. It's like their whole family and there's probably 20 people out on the ice. And then they set up like a little warming house up there. I mean, that's pretty typical. But then they put out, remember they had that
there
fire
was a
and
huge
they were.
Smorgasbord.
Yeah, they
a
had
campfire
tons of food.
On the ice.
They had, like, I don't know, elk or it might not have been elk. They had some kind of crazy like
they grilled a lot of stuff out
meats and yeah. Mm-hmm. So and then they had their little grandson, which he's in the episode. He stars in the episode, and he was just really adorable. He had this little he had all these tools on him that were like little fishing tools.
He was born to ice fish. Yeah, it was
and
so
he's
funny
walking around
him.
Teaching us stuff yeah, about ice fishing.
It was
so.
Pretty crazy. It was and cool. So yeah, we were on Lake Manoomin. We've gone through that many a time. How to pronounce all yeah. these different things?
Randy Canack was telling us to, yeah, with Randy, his song.
Well, and that was the thing. We went to that the candlelight ski.
Yeah, the candlelight deal. Ski. They had a candlelight ski at night, which was pretty cool. A lot of people were skiing, mm-hmm. Snowshoeing. Some people were sledding down little hills, and then they also had like a huge stand of free hot chocolate and.
Oh, that hot chocolate!
It was
felt
so good. Yeah, it was. I mean, it was a really cold night, but. We were by a campfire. We had hot chocolate. So there was it definitely felt like one of those cozy Wisconsin winter.
And the
segments.
Funny part is on that evening, beer was involved on either end of that part of the scene because we went to Brewery yep. Nonick first and we sat around a campfire there, like a fire out back.
Yeah, there was a campfire in every place we went
I was
in.
Sensing a theme there, yeah. And then we went into Lucette Brewing and had a great dinner and pizzas mm-hmm. and all that there. And then we went just north of town.
Mm-hmm.
To what is kind of a ski area. It was a ski area.
Woodwind
and now
Park,
it's kind
yeah.
of a winter recreation area, and they're hoping to bring the skiing back at some point. Woodwind Park?
Yep, yeah. Woodwind Park, yeah. So Woodwind Park was really cool. It's almost a retreat activity center.
Yeah.
So they own a ton of property that used to be an old ski resort, and they've kind of revived it. I think it was dead for a period of time.
For several years, yeah. And yeah. Then there's a couple of skating rinks on there. They had a great warm-up house, and then you could do all kinds of tubing and other activities. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it wouldn't shock me if the skiing, like the big-time hill skiing, came back, because you were nestled in a valley amidst some beautiful hills there.
Oh, my God. That was probably one of my favorite places
extremely
that we went.
Extremely scenic.
Yeah, yeah. It was very, very serene there. And I think they're building the chalet, or they're renovating yep. the chalet, so that'll be probably up in... running maybe this winter even.
Hopefully, yeah, that'd be really cool if they have it ready in time. But it's an interesting couple. One's from the Twin Cities, one's from Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, her standards for skiing are a little high, but yeah. I think that means they'll do it right. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was a cool place.
Land O'Lakes was a lot of fun, too, because I got to snowmobile.
Mm-hmm.
And we went up to Bond Falls. That was a beautiful hike. I've been to Bond Falls in the fall when it's fall colors and it's gorgeous. Winter's a whole different ball game there, and
oh, yeah.
it's beautiful, and it's a little over the border.
Well, I've never
it's
been
a little
to
bit in the UP
Land O'Lakes. That was my first time, and
I
thought it was crazy
yeah
how many people were snowmobiling up there that didn't even live there. They come mm-hmm. from all over. And the restaurant that we went to, literally the amount of snowmobile helmets in that restaurant, and people just ditch them. I don't even know how they find them at the end
yeah,
of their
It's overwhelming.
Lunch or dinner. Yeah.
How many snowmobilers there are there. But it's right on a cool. major snowmobile trail.
Yeah. Well, and what I thought was interesting, too, was everybody kind of flocks to that area in, what, January and February? And mm-hmm. then in March, they said the whole town is dead because everybody goes to Florida, or they, like, go
a
south.
A lot of people
like,
go to, yeah.
They're like birds. So, like, the time to go is really in the winter, during that winter time. But, yeah, you were saying that it's right on the...
It's one of the major lines between Wisconsin and Michigan because you're on the state mm-hmm. border.
Yeah.
You just hop back and forth. It's pretty fun. And yeah, we went all the way up to Bond Falls to check that out. And I mean, Land O'Lakes has a proud history. There's Olympians that come mm-hmm. from there that do winter sports. And I, previous episodes, I've dog sledded there. There's yeah. all kinds of great winter activities there. So you can't beat chilling out up there.
Yeah. And we went to Ben's Camp.
Bent's Camp. Yeah, I've been to Bent's Camp for several different episodes. Mm-hmm. I forgot. We went for this one, too. I had been to Bent's Camp when I'm kayaking up there and swimming in the water and tubing on the water. And then I was there, and it was freezing cold. But I got to watch the bikini run.
You did get to watch the bikini run. The radar run had a bikini run.
Good gravy.
I know, yeah. That was my response when I was told I was going to film it.
The radar run was a lot of fun. And I have no idea how those ladies in the bikinis survived that, because that day was so cold. You know,
yeah,
your fingers were numb.
Freezing.
I can imagine what it's like.
Literally in their bikinis.
Because, yeah, some of them were topping 70, 80, 90 miles an hour. I mean, on a very brief quarter mile run, but that's enough.
But
the wind chill on your skin.
You talked to Alex Spioto, if you remember,
yeah,
and
oh, I remember
she
Alex.
She said it wasn't cold until the end.
Yeah, well, I think your adrenaline's rushing so yeah. fast in the beginning, and then yeah, by the time you're done, and they still, you know, when they finish the thing, they go back to the start line. They're still in the bikini.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be freezing cold. And then they put, you know, their core body temp probably takes 8 hours to warm back up.
Yeah,
Alex was right back at a bartending.
I know. She smiles all day.
Yeah, it's uh-huh. crazy.
People do that up there. But and then the last place that we went to was Sauk County, and mm-hmm. Eric wasn't in that segment, but that one was really cool because we went to a place called White Mound County Park, and it was absolutely gorgeous. I mean, this is a place that is, you know, within the Driftless area of Wisconsin, and so you've got really cool landscape. There's horseback riding that you can do there. You can bring your horse and horseback ride, and then there's just acres and acres of land. They've got a lake. You can fish the lake. You can just kind of hike around in the area. And the cool part is that there's not a lot of people that I don't know if there's not a lot of people that know about it or there's not a lot of people that go to it, because I think if more people knew about it, they would go there. But
might
a lot
be one
of people,
the reasons we're featuring it in the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that one of the things they advertise, though, is that it's just not as heavily foot trafficked as places that are in that area, because the Driftless area is so popular, I think, mm-hmm. for a lot of parks and stuff in Wisconsin, that a lot of people kind of flock when they, especially during fall time or in the summer. But this is a place that's a little bit less foot trafficked. So, I mean, I went on a run there when I was just kind of location scouting and stuff, and it was awesome. I think I ran into one other person, and you feel like you have the whole place to yourself, but it's absolutely just gorgeous.
Well, the interesting part with Sauk County is you're right on the boundary of the Dells. I mean, part of Sauk County is in the Dells. So, you know, that's where the tourism, you know, everybody flocks there, and that's the draw. And then you have all this beautiful, and a lot of people don't realize it is in the Driftless area. They think it's further west and south and northwest. Mm-hmm. And then you have, you know, Baraboo and Reedsburg and these beautiful towns. Abelman Gorge in between those two towns is stunning any mm-hmm. time of year. So, yeah, I mean, but it gets a little overlooked because of the dominance of the Dells nearby.
Yeah. I would say that was probably one of my favorite places that we went and filmed. And one of the things with, you know, within that day that we did was we stargazed at night. And it's a place where there's no light pollution.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just, it's amazing. When you look up, you can see every star in the night sky, and it's incredible. And so I think it's probably one of the closest places to Madison I think it's one of the darkest, closest places to Madison.
It makes sense. It's on the other side of the Baraboo Range, so that city light just doesn't show there. Yeah,
and it was just really, that was phenomenal. And then the last thing I'll say about Sauk County, too, is, or at least White Mountain County Park, is they have a place called Prairie Smoke Terrace, so that was kind of the warming up side of things, and they have like a wood-burning stove in there that you can throw some logs in and just kind of, you know, we had a couple people in there, and they were playing games and having chili, and so that's another place you can rent out for the day or have family and friends and warm up, because it was a cold day, but we spent a lot of time in there, and it was nice and made it a lot.
We did a lot of filming when it was very, very cold. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But we were always running around doing stuff. There's a lot of activity in Wisconsin. People just kind of, they bear it, you know, and you learn how to have fun through it.
Well, you have to in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. That, you know, that crisp air, even though it gets cold, it is exhilarating. As long as you're dressed right, it's a lot of fun.
I will say the campfires helped a lot. Especially Menominee, we had, I think, a campfire every single place we went. Even when you met the mayor, we had a campfire.
Oh, yeah, we stood right around that thing, and mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, so that was kind of fun. And when I was writing that, too, I was like, I noticed there was a campfire in every single place that we went, but I liked it.
Well, you need to warm up when you're chilling out.
Yep. Chilling out.
Speaking of chilling out, Eric, where can people be watching this episode when it finally hits broadcast?
You can check out Chillin' in Wisconsin, or Chillin' Out in Wisconsin. Heck, I named it. I should know that by heart, shouldn't I?
Probably.
Yeah, okay. It's on the Discover Wisconsin app. That's even before it hits your local broadcast station. That will be on September 21st. If you don't have the Discover Wisconsin app, you can download it in the App Store or the Google Play Store. After the episode premieres on TV, which is going to be Saturday, September 24th, Bally Sports Wisconsin, Bally Sports North, Minnesota, and other places. Again, Saturday, September 24th at 10 a.m. That's, you can first watch it on your TV, your regular TV, and then it'll be on the free broadcast stations. After that, check your local listings. And also after that premiere on September 24th, then you can stream it anytime on all the usual suspects: Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, Chromecast, Android TV, Smart TV, and on the Discover Wisconsin YouTube channel.
Awesome. Annalise, thank you so much for joining us back in the cabin and talking to us about some very fun, cool winter activities.
Thank you, guys. Always fun to be here.
And that cold weather's coming back soon.
You weren't supposed to say that, Eric.
Well, I did.
Okay.
Sorry. Make sure you join us next week, because one thing about the fall season, it's great for picking apples and apple pie and apple bars and apple bakes and apple everything.
Apple cider donuts?
Apple cider donuts. The best.
It's time.
The best part. That's next week right here on The Cabin. And as we wrap it up here, a quick message from the All of Us Research Program, because the All of Us Research Program has a simple mission. They want to speed up medical breakthroughs. To do this, they're asking people across America to share their unique health information to create the largest, most diverse medical research program ever. The mission is an important one, because the more information researchers have, the faster they can create individualized prevention, precise treatment options, and better care for all of us. Together, let's make this mission achievable. Details at joinallofus.org/discoverWI.
Today's episode of The Cabin was hosted by Eric Paulson, Apurva Banerjee, and me, Susan Foch. Produced by me with audio engineering by Matt Renta and video teasers by Logan Ingram, with social media by me and Courtney Haas. The Cabin is a production brought to you by Discover Media Works. To learn more, head to discovermediaworks.com, and don't forget to leave us that review.
And here's this week's installment of Know Your Wisconsin.
From paper products to furniture, Wisconsin produces billions of dollars in forest products each year. As a result, there's a growing demand for skilled forest industry workers. Here in Antigo, at the Wood Technology Center of Excellence, an extension of North Central Technical College, instructors and students work to hone and advance those skills into impactful careers.
It's a 28,000 square foot facility, and it's set up for training the incumbent workforce that we have here in the state of Wisconsin, but also for college programming. The one that we're really proud of is our Wood Science Associate's degree. That's a two-year program. It's the only associate's degree in wood science in North America.
A major training hub, the Wood Technology Center of Excellence provides over 25 wood-related classes, seminars, and workshops each year. Through hands-on training, their mission is to provide critical skills to the next generation of forest industry leaders.
Students coming out of this program can graduate with a much lower debt load, plus have excellent opportunities to go into a career that they possibly could love for the rest of their life.
We have 17 million acres of forest land here in the state of Wisconsin. And of those 17 million acres, we actually have about 1,500 companies that are producing products from our forest, which is a pretty big deal. Take it one step further, they employ 64,000 people in the state of Wisconsin. And what most Wisconsinites don't realize is that we actually produce more products. We ship more dollars worth of wood products than any other state in the union. And that's something to be pretty proud of.
And now you know your Wisconsin.